You ain't there, say, hold on. Matthew 27:50. Jesus has been on the cross. Jesus, they've already gone through the Via Dolorosa. They've already gone through all the trials. They've already gone through the carrying the cross down through Jerusalem. They beat him. They spit on him. And now he's hung on the cross. He's already talked to the thieves. And that's at the very end of the crucifixion. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Let me just stop right there. I just had a thought. If it was the Son of God, why were they saying this was the Son of God?
Amen.
If it's the Son of God, he still is the Son of God. Amen. Ain't going to be no was about it. Amen. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and Joseph, the mother of Zebedee's children. And when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of a rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that this deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulcher until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Lord, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for the reading of your word. Thank you for your blessings. And Lord, we ask your hand to be upon us right now, God. Whatever's done, God, help us to have a better understanding of your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The study tonight is going to be on this. What Jesus did after they put his body in the tomb.
Come on.
Bless you, God.
Amen.
What Jesus did after they put his body in the tomb. Number one, let's just kind of go over some. His body was placed in the tomb. John 19, verse 38 through 42. If you have your Bibles, turn there. And I'm going to ask you to turn several places in the Bible with me this night. John chapter 19, verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave and commanded, therefore, he took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came by Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds of weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, wound it in linen cloth with his spices, in the manner as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a sepulcher, wherein never man yet laid. And they laid Jesus, therefore, because the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. This Joseph from Arimathea and Nicodemus, you got to understand, this is the same Nicodemus from John chapter 3 that came to Jesus by night. These were disciples of Jesus before Jesus passed away. Now, they were disciples of Jesus, but they were kind of secret disciples of Jesus because they were in the Sanhedrin. They were in the Pharisees, the Sadducees. They ran with that crowd. But this proves, number one, that, not listen, this proves that Jesus was dead.
Amen.
They checked the body. They knew what they were doing. This proves that Jesus was dead. This also proves that the tomb was sealed. I read to you, the Bible said that Pilate gave them a watch that is a guard. In other words, they went to that tomb. Some people say anywhere from 16 to 60-some soldiers were guarding the tomb of Jesus. You know, it's amazing you're going to guard the tomb of a dead man. Amen. But they put a seal on it so that nobody could break the seal. His body was there, but now listen. His body was there, but his spirit was active. Amen. You got to get a picture. Ecclesiastes tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, then shall the dust return as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. So his body was placed in the tomb. Number two, Jesus' spirit went to the place of the dead. A lot of us have heard this over the years, but I'm going to do my best to try to explain it a little bit more. We call this place hell. The King James Bible version calls it hell. The Greek word is Hades. And the Greek word, it means the unseen or place of the departed soul's grave or hell. Acts chapter 2, verse 27, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Peter is quoting directly from Psalms 16, verse 10. It basically says the exact same thing. Right there. Now, according to Jesus' teaching, okay? According to Jesus' teaching, take your Bible and let's go to Luke chapter 16. We all know this story. Take your Bible and go to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 22. This is the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Like I say, we know this story. We could tell this story by heart. Most of our kids back in the back can tell you the story of Lazarus and the rich man. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. Now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, betwixt us and you, there is a great gulf, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So according to Jesus, there was two compartments in the place of the dead. There was Abraham's bosom, which is where Lazarus went, and then there was the place where the tormented are at. And that's where the rich tormented. You got to understand something. And you know, we it's hard for us sometimes to comprehend this, but you got to understand, this was before the resurrection. This was how God had all this planned out, and I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. So in this place there were two compartments. One was Abraham's bosom. That was paradise. That's where the Old Testament saints that died looking forward to Jesus, looking forward to the Messiah, that's where they went. All those that died in sin, died with unforgiveness, died not looking for the Messiah, they were in torments. Now Jesus goes down and Jesus preaches to the ones in Abraham's bosom. Take your Bible and let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, I'm going to read verse 18 and 19. Verse 18. 1 Peter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now listen. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. So Jesus, they place his body in the tomb. The body is dead, but the spirit is active. Amen. Amen. Listen, you got to understand something. You are made up of three parts, body, soul, and spirit. The spirit is active. Jesus' spirit was active. What does that mean? Jesus went to the place of the dead, and he announced that his blood had been shed, and he had won victory over sin and death. And those in the Old Testament, those in Abraham's bosom, had to accept the blood of Jesus, just like you and I have to accept the blood of Jesus. The only way, the only remission of sin is by the shed blood. Hey, and there's only one shed blood that can get you into heaven, amen. So they had to accept what the Messiah had done. They had died looking forward to the Messiah. They had died looking forward to the promise. And when Jesus goes down, he declared redemption had been accomplished. Amen. They had to accept that. Now, let me just say this. This was not a second chance for these souls. This was not, you don't get no second chances in hell. These folks were in Abraham's bosom. They were in a place of paradise. Jesus goes down and Jesus declares unto them that the blood had been shed, victory had been won, redemption had been paid for. Everything that they had looked for, everything that they had hoped for had happened. And they had to accept that they were saved just like you and I were saved. So basically what they were doing, they were down in this place of Abraham's bosom. They were in paradise. They were not sad. They were not tormented. They were in paradise. And they were just waiting for the proclamation of victory to come.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Jesus takes the keys to death and hell. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys to death and hell. Keys represent authority. If you got the keys, you in control, amen. You got to understand something. This proves that Jesus had defeated sin. This proves that Jesus had defeated death. This proves that Jesus had defeated Satan. He hold the keys. Psalm 68, verse 20 says this, he that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues of death. Romans chapter 6, verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Jesus won. Amen. Jesus won. See, we know the story of Lazarus in the tomb. Lazarus was called out of that grave, but guess what? Lazarus died. The widow of Nain's son, hey, he was resurrected, but he died. Guess what? When Jesus is the only one that's ever died and come back to life and can't die no more, amen? Jesus leads captivity captive. Ephesians chapter 4. Take your Bible, go to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 8 through 10. Ephesians chapter 4. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? So Jesus goes down, preaches to these that's basically at Abraham's bosom, they were held captive in a place waiting for the Messiah. The Bible says that Jesus, he emptied Abraham's bosom. He took them to heaven. After the resurrection, all believers go directly to heaven to be with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 says this, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. In other words, when you die now, there ain't no holding place. There ain't no bosom place. There ain't no Abraham's bosom. There ain't no priest can go in a closet and pray you out of somewhere and put you somewhere else. The Bible says as a tree falls, that's how it's going to lay. Amen. And you got to understand, if you're a Christian and you're a believer and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, when your last breath right here is your first breath in the presence of God. All your loved ones that died, all your loved ones, they ain't laying in the grave somewhere. They ain't waiting on something. Glory to God. Hey, that body might be there, but that spirit is active. That spirit is with heaven, is in with God right now. You got to understand something, folks. Don't let some of these people on the internet get you off track. The Bible tells us this. The Bible tells us this. When we die, you go one of two places. There ain't no such place called purgatory. Understand that. Christians are in the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Sinners are in torments, just like the rich man. He lifted up, he died and was buried and lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Amen. Christians have one judgment that we'll have to worry about. That's the judgment seat of Christ, where we'll be judged on what we've done down here on this earth as Christians. Hey, lost people, they're going to have to worry about the great white throne judgment, where they're going to be judged and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. So Jesus leads captivity captive. In other words, he goes down, he preaches. Everybody, they're waiting on him. They are waiting on him. Can you just imagine? I can't prove it by the Bible, but Jesus told that thief, today you'll be with me in paradise. I'm not sure if he died before Jesus or died after Jesus, but it really don't matter. If he died before Jesus, just kind of get a picture of this. If he died before Jesus passed away, can you imagine as he shows up at Abraham's bosom and they say, hey, what's your name? He said, hold on, there's somebody coming. He's almost here. The one you've been waiting on is almost here. Can you imagine as Abraham's bosom, they start shouting and praising God. And well, if he died after Jesus, glory to God, as at the moment of death, he went to be with God. Amen. So Jesus leads captivity captive. Now listen. Here's where it's going to get interesting. Everything I've preached so far, most of y'all already know. Jesus rested from the work of redemption on the Sabbath day. Jesus died on Friday and rested on the Sabbath day. This mirrors creation. The Bible tells us that God worked 6 days and God rested on the seventh day. John chapter 19 verse 30 says this, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. In other words, all the work was done on Friday. Amen. Listen, all the work was done on Friday. Jesus dies early afternoon on Friday. They place Jesus in the tomb, and Jesus on Friday afternoon, Jesus goes down, preaches to those in Abraham's bosom, leads captivity captive, and then on the Sabbath day, I believe Jesus just kind of sat back. Amen. And rested. How tiring was it, Mike, for Jesus to take care of your sins? How tiring was it for Jesus to be put through what he had to be put through? Ain't nobody going to say nothing, Dale, about Jesus resting on that Saturday, on the Sabbath day. Because he bore our sins and he took our pain. Sunday morning, he rises up. I don't know. I believe the Bible says that an angel moved that stone out of the way. He rose up, came out of the grave, and he's been saving souls ever since. Amen. I believe it's all right for Jesus to get one day of rest. Amen. Because he ain't rested since. Because every one of us bombard him every day with everything we got going on. Amen. It's all right for him to rest on the Sabbath day. Thank God. Hey, he neither sleeps nor slumbers now. He is seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. He is there for us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you to the ends of the world. Amen. And thank God he's sitting right there working for you. So the timeline is this. Jesus dies. He's placed in the tomb on Friday. Friday afternoon, Jesus descends into hell, proclaims victory, leads them out. Sunday morning, he comes forth from the grave. Death is defeated and Satan is crushed. Can you imagine what Satan thought? I love that old song about, you know, it's Friday. Satan is having a fit. Happy, they're having a party in hell Saturday. They're still having a party in hell, but Sunday morning somebody comes to Satan and said, we got a problem. Amen. Amen. We got a problem. So what have we learned? Death could not hold Jesus. Somebody ought to shout right there. Amen. Death could not hold Jesus. Death got a hold to him, but only because he let it. Amen. Only, but you got to understand something. We're talking about one that had the power over resurrection. He called out Lazarus. He called up the widow of Nain's son. He rose the dead. He healed the sick. So the Bible tells us that Jesus gave up the ghost. They could not kill him. What Jesus went through at the whipping post should have killed him. What Jesus went through on the Via Della Rosa should have killed him. If you study most Bible scholars and most doctors, they'll tell you that most of the time, the beating alone would kill most people. But Jesus is on the cross and gives up the ghost. Death could not hold him. It also teaches us that redemption is paid in full. There ain't nothing you gotta do, and there ain't nothing that you can do to save yourself. It's all, hey, all to Jesus I surrender. All to Jesus I owe. There ain't nothing. I'm telling you, folks, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed me white as snow. Nothing you can do. Absolutely nothing you can do to be saved. The price has been paid, amen? And now, believers, I'm talking true believers, amen, have victory over death. If you're a true, now listen, I'm going to tell you right now, in the immortal words of a good friend of mine, Larry Snipes, if these two buses go into heaven, I'll take the second one. Amen? I ain't in no hurry to die. We all gonna die, but I ain't in no hurry. Amen. So I wanna live just as long as I can, but death don't scare me. Come on. I'm just being honest. Death don't scare me. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Jesus won the victory. All you and I gotta do is accept it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody got any questions real quick? I hope I've covered it.